whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us. That whosoever will may come. My Jesus is a loving Savior who gave up His life for me, that forever and ever man might be set free. And whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us, that whosoever will may come. The love of a child for his mother is a love I can understand. But the love of my Savior is so vast yet, oh so real, that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us, that whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us, that whosoever come.
Wonderful. And that's a true statement. Whosoever will. You say, preacher, what does it take to be saved? It takes the grace of God and faith and you wanting to be. That's the ingredients. You put those three together, guess what you have? Salvation. You say, preacher, what if I've done bad things? Well, name me one thing that the grace of God has not covered. The grace of God has paid for everything. Everything. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, let me invite you to come and know, because the script, just like the song said, whosoever will may come. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Open your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians. Into the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. The book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Now, while you're turning there, I'm not going to have you stand just yet. While you're turning there, I want to bring you up to date on what we're about to read. The Apostle Paul now is in prison. And, you know, have you ever done something where you go out and you do something and you wonder whether or not the people listened? Or you wonder not that if what you did or what you said, whether it took effect? And then all of a sudden you get some reports back and you realize that, man, people listened. There are people that actually not only listened to what I said, but they applied in their life what I said. Well, the Apostle Paul is heading toward his execution now, and I'm sure that he can see down the road that his time is limited on this earth. The way he preached, I'm surprised he made it as far as he did. But God's grace. Hey, they tried to stone him. Y'all do know that, right? They tried to kill him multiple times, but God had a plan for the Apostle Paul. And you know, from time to time, you know what some of us need? We need a little confirmation. Is that right? Yeah, every time. Sometimes we just need a little confirmation sometimes that things are as we assumed and thought they were to be. Well, have you found your place there in Philippians 1? Would you stand with me? We're going to begin reading in verse number 3. Verse number 3, and we're going to read down through verse number 7. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now listen, here's what he's thinking about now. He's thinking about, I'm in my situation, but I remember when I was there in Philippi. I remember the things that happened to me there. Remember one of the things that happened in Philippi? Remember him, Paul and Silas were singing at midnight in the prison? Remember how that God busted that prison open and that Philippian jailer jumped in and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house if they believe. Hey, Paul had some incredible experiences at Philippi. He says, in every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, boy, we had some good times, good fellowship together. Being confident, verse 6, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Stop. We're going to read one more verse, but here's what he's saying. You got to understand, when he got there, these people were apostate heathens. These people were works-oriented in everything they did, even if they were worshiping false gods. And many of them got born into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Their whole life changed. And he says, man, let me remind you that whatever God has begun in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that verse is telling me? Now back up, because some of you may not have been raised in a Baptist church. So here, I'm just going to lay it right out on the table for you. He's saying that once you get born again, you are saved forever. Now I know some of you just went into cold sweats breaking out of you, but that's all right. But that's what he's saying. Listen, if Jesus Christ didn't pay it all, he didn't pay it at all. He says, once you got born into the family of God, he said, you're a child of God forever. Look at verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Almost sounding like he's having a melancholy moment, right? He says, inasmuch as both in my bonds follow me now, and in the defense, now here it is, and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I want you to look in verse number 7, and I want you to notice the phrase, confirmation of the gospel. Paul was getting word back that his preaching had not been in vain. Paul was getting word back now that people were not only had been saved, but people were getting other people converted to Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was remembering? Listen, you know what was confirming him in his situation that was giving him confirmation of information that he was getting back from Philippi? It was a changed life. These people had been changed. They were no longer worshiping idols. Their lusts were not after the things of the world. They were now after the things of God. And confirmation came back to him of the information that these people had changed. Remember what I said? Sometimes we just need a little confirmation in life, don't we? And that's what I want to do and help you with this morning. I want to speak to you on that subject, confirmation of information. Father, would you bless now as we look into the Bible? We're so thankful for the privilege that we have to be able to serve the living God and open the Bible and to be able to come and serve and worship in a church like this in a free country. We pray, my Father, please, that you'd do your work in our hearts. Would you motivate us, Lord, if we're Christians, motivate us to serve you even more than we are right now. And with a desire to strive for excellence in our Christianity. Maybe there are some this morning that know not Christ, that today would be the day that they would examine their own heart, their own soul, and turn their life to Jesus Christ. Have your way now, I pray, my Father, please, in this service, in Christ's name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. You know, sometimes confirmation of information is not always favorable to our liking. How many times have you ever gone to the doctor and he's given you not so good news? He's confirmed a condition. And sometimes that information was not favorable to us and we didn't welcome it with open arms. You see, sometimes the confirmation of certain information could be hurtful because sometimes it reveals what little character we have. Sometimes it reveals damaging things that we've done. Sometimes it reveals what our spirit is toward one another. And sometimes we don't always embrace, listen now, all of the confirmation of information that we get. Because sometimes it doesn't put us in a favorable light. Now let me tell you how depraved we are. We love to be in the spotlight, don't we? We love to look good. Nobody wants to look bad, right? But sometimes information comes and is confirmed by that book. And it reflects who we are, what our spirit is, a lack of character in our life. You see, sometimes it's a struggle for most of us to accept confirmed information in our life because sometimes it's negative. That word confirmation means verification. It means validation of the facts. It means proof. May I say something to you this morning? You hold in your hand, in the English language, the words of Almighty God. You see, we hold in our hands the words of not just Almighty God. It's a holy book. It's a sacred book. It's a revealing book. It's a God-ordained book. Oh, listen, it's an eternal book. We have in our hands, listen to me this morning, please, we have in our hands confirmation of information. We hold it in our hands. We don't have to go to the public library. We've got it in the Bible. It is the spiritual confirmation of everything that we've ever heard or been taught. You see, this book called the Bible of the Christian faith, it's filled with confirmation of multiple areas of information that we've been taught, that's been preached, that's been published, that's been practiced for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we have it right in our hands this morning. You see, the Word of God that we have for us in our hands this morning, history has confirmed it to be true. I said history has confirmed it to be true. You see, regardless of what you may read in a public setting, the Bible has been proven to be true. History has proved it. Hey, can I go a step further? Archaeology has proved it. Hey, you know where the cities that the Bible said they were? Guess where they found them? Right where the Bible said they were. Hey, can I tell you that there's so many things that have been confirmed in Scripture by history? It's been confirmed by archaeology. Listen, it's been confirmed by science. Hey, our scientists didn't just get smart overnight. You know where they got most of their information from? The Bible. Where do you think they learned about the currents of the oceans? Where do you think they learned about the air, the jet streams and the things of the atmosphere? They found it in the Bible. Now, they won't tell you that. That's where they got it. You see, it's been confirmed. The information has been confirmed by the book. It's been confirmed in history, archaeology, science. Oh, listen, other recorders and ancient documents have confirmed it to be true. Most recently, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Hey, listen, you know the enemies of the Bible, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found years and years ago, they were licking their chops. We finally found something to discredit the Bible. But you know what they found out? That didn't last long because they found out the Dead Sea Scrolls credited the Bible. It gave validity. It verified what the Scripture had already taught. May I say to you this morning, listen carefully, the Bible is not some fairy tale. Hey, listen, this is not some book of Mother Goose rhymes that we read our children at night. What we hold in our hand is the very inerrant, holy words of Almighty God that confirms the information since the beginning of time. And we have it for us. Hey, the prophets didn't even have a complete copy. The apostles didn't even have a complete copy. But you know what you have today in the English language? A complete copy. Yeah, and you know what it is? It's confirming all the information that we've ever heard or taught. Millions have died for the faith. Listen, because they stood and would not deny the confirmation of information. Millions have died for that book. Many have been imprisoned or banished from their country. Because they would not deny the confirmation of information. Some have even questioned the confirmation of the facts of Scripture or even tried to alter the facts of Scripture. know what they call that in our judicial system? They call that tampering. Amen. Did you know in our judicial system, if you tamper with information, that is a crime? I wonder if somebody tampers with the Bible. I wonder if that would be a divine crime. I wonder if that would be such a thing that God would bring down heavy, heavy judgment on. Oh, by the way, do you know the Bible does say that? Hold your place there. Go to Revelation 22. Go to Revelation 22. God's wrapping up His canon of Scripture in Revelation 22. Look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You go to verse 18, he talks about if any man adds to the book or if any man takes away from the book. You know what? God doesn't want us tampering with the Word. He's given us His inerrant Word for us because it confirms all of the information that we've ever heard, been preached, or practiced in the Christian life. Mark 7 and verse 13. The scripture Jesus drew attention that the priests and the Pharisees there were tampering. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 17 talked about those in his day corrupting the word. There was tampering, folks, been going on for thousands of years. Trying to discredit the information. But you know what God has preserved for us today in the English language? In that old King James Bible, confirmation. Every day I read the Bible, you know what? It confirms everything I believe. It confirms what God said in the Scriptures. You see, sometimes confirmation is given and there's just a group of people, they just flat out ain't going to believe it regardless. They're just not going to accept the facts. I don't care if it has been confirmed because they just do not want to succumb to the information that's been given us in the Scripture. You know what that is? That's warped thinking. Yeah, that's warped thinking. Can you imagine somebody setting a case in a courtroom and giving all the information that is very convicting toward the person that is being accused, and that person being accused stood up and said, I don't care what it says. I don't believe it. Well, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it, it's still true. Oh, by the way, the Word of God is not up for a vote. It's not up for a vote. God didn't ask us to vote on whether we believe the confirmation or not. He didn't ask us whether we wanted to vote, whether we were going to accept the information or not. He just said it, and it's true. And I and you are to accept the confirmation that we have in the Word of God. Now, I find a number of things that are very simply confirmed that seems to be, in our day, being swept under the rug. You say, like what? Well, I found in the Bible that the Bible confirms that we are all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You see, sin's definition, again, is not up for a vote. Sin's definition is not up for debate. Sin is not in your realm of definition of what you think sin is or I think sin is. Listen, God says all have sinned based on His definition of sin, and it's confirmed that we are all under the penalty of sin. You say, where'd you get that? From the Bible. Got it from the Bible. You see, sin is the transgression of God's will and plan. Do you know sin claimed the first two people that was ever created on the earth? Claimed them. Adam and Eve. Perfect environment, it claimed them. Sin got Moses. Sin got David. Oh, there's a man the Bible talks about being the wisest man in the world. You say, oh, well, sin wouldn't get him. Sin got him too. Sin got Solomon. And he's supposed to be the wisest man in all the world. The scripture says there was no one wiser than him before or shall be after. But sin got him. You know where it took him? It took him into idolatry. Yeah, took him into idolatry. So it claimed Adam and Eve. It claimed Moses. It got David. It got Solomon. Oh, listen. The Bible talks about a man that was born of woman and nobody was greater than him. Nobody. Outside of Jesus Christ. Nobody was greater, the Bible says, than John the Baptist. But you know sin got him too? You say, how? Well, he got thrown in prison. And he was about to have his head severed from his body. So he took his disciples and he said, look, would you go do something for me? Would you go ask Jesus if he's the one? Listen now. Or should we look what? Would that be called doubting? Would that be called a violation of faith? Yeah. You know what? Sin got John the Baptist too. It's claimed him also. Hey, it claimed Peter. It claimed Paul. Listen, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Can I say this morning to you? It got you too. It not only claimed these people, it's claimed you as well. It's claimed every person in this facility. Listen to me this morning, dear person. Sin is wicked. Sin is vile. Sin is filthy. Sin is putrid. Sin is an abomination before a thrice holy God. And it's claimed everybody in this room. You know what that sin did? That sin separated us from God. You see, just like sin separated Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and their fellowship with God and their relationship with God, sin separated them. It likewise separated you and I. You see, you and I know who we are. We know that we have sinned because our conscience tells us so. Our spirit tells us so. A person who says, I've never sinned, is lying. Because their own conscience tells them that they're a sinner. Can I say something this morning to you? You can't fix this problem. You may can fix a lot of things, but you can't fix this one. You're going to need some help. You're going to need something outside what you can do to fix the sin problem of life. Yes, you may have been pretty independent in life. You may have done everything that you could to make yourself successful in life. Let me tell you something. There's something that's confirmed in the Scripture called sin that you can't do anything about on your own. Now, that's how bad it is. But can I say something to you? For some reason, we candy-coated sin today. You say, well, like what? What have we candy-coated? Immorality is running rampant in our society today, and we've candy-coated it. Like it's no big deal. Amen? Now, if you want me to chase a rabbit, I can chase a rabbit right there, but I think you get to understand what I'm talking about. We live in a perverted society. You know what God says it is? Sin. It's putrid. It's an abomination. We know what we need to do this morning. We need to acknowledge that we have sinned against a thrice holy God. But not only does the Bible confirm sin, follow me now, because of that separation, do you know the Bible confirms a place where people who are lost in sin go? Now listen, here's another subject that seems to be swept under the rug. And you know the sad thing to say is it's swept under the rug by too many religious people. I'm talking about guys that stand behind a pulpit on Sunday that don't even want to mention it because it might offend somebody. Well, I'm just going to say it. That place is called hell. Hey, folks, look up here at me. It's a real place. People go there. It's a real place that God did not prepare for us, but He prepared for the devil and his angels. So how do we know that it exists? Well, first of all, Jesus confirmed it existed. He said one day, all the lost would stand before Him. And without Jesus Christ, listen now, He would say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And you know where He told them to depart to? Into everlasting fire. You say, you mean Jesus said that? Yeah. Not just once, not just twice, multiple times. He said and verified and confirmed and validated that the lost of all the ages will go directly to a place called hell. Jesus confirmed it. Luke 16, a real person confirmed it. There were two men, a rich man and a poor man, a beggar by the name of Lazarus. God doesn't tell us the name of the rich man, but He does tell us the name of Lazarus. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I was taught once I was knee-high to a grasshopper that that's a parable. Go check me out. Go find where Jesus ever used real names in a parable. Folks, this is a real story. And you know what Jesus was trying to teach? He was trying to confirm that hell exists. And this rich man died, and the beggar died. Lazarus, the beggar, went to Abraham's bosom, went into heaven, went into the presence there of peace and bliss and eternal life, whereas the rich man died without Jesus Christ because his hope was in his riches. His hope was in the things of this world. He died, and the Scripture says in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes in torments. Get some of these knuckleheads today, you know what they say? I'm going to hell, we're just going to have one big party. I don't think so. I don't think, it might be a party, but I don't think it's what people are thinking about. Because the Bible describes hell as a place of torment, fire, bottomless, dark. Oh, and by the way, it'll be cast into the lake of fire one day, and Satan with it. Jesus confirmed it. The rich man confirmed it. Hey, listen to me. Paul confirmed it. Yeah, Paul confirmed it in his scriptures. Listen, the prophets confirmed it. Prophecy confirmed. When you go to Revelation chapter 20, the scripture talks about all the dead, great and small, standing before God. And they were judged. And the scripture says those that were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Now, folks, listen. I need to be visual for just a minute, okay? I like to fish. I don't fish with a cane pole and a hook. I fish with a rod and reel, and I take and I actually cast. That word cast, it doesn't mean God's got a button and a person standing on a trap door and God pushes the button and goes, up, next. And he's just pushing buttons. No. The scripture says they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, folks, the last time I checked, the word cast means to throw. To discard away from. Hey, when I get out there fishing and I cast, the bait's going away from me. God said He will take the lost of all times, of all eternity, that rejected them, that spit on His Bible, that rejected His church, rejected God, rejected Jesus, and He said He will take them and cast them into the lake of fire. So, oh, preacher, that's awful. Well, then don't end up being that way. Hey, listen, we've got information that's confirmed that you don't have to end up there. You see, hell is the final destination of the infidels of all time. An eternal separation from God. But wait a minute. The Bible not only confirms that we're sinners. It confirms that there's a place called hell where those that are lost without Christ, that never have their sins covered by the blood of Christ, they go there. But wait a minute. The Bible also confirms another place. The Bible confirms the place of the believer. It confirms that there's heaven. You say, where is it? Wherever God is. You say, show it to me. There. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. I don't have to be specific. All I got to know is I'm going there. I'm going to let God take care of all the details. I'll meet Him there soon enough. All I've got to be, listen, all I got to do is read the Bible and understand that it is confirmed. And by the way, can I say to you, not only did Jesus confirm hell, He also confirmed heaven. He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He confirmed this wonderful, glorious place called heaven. Acts chapter 7, there's a man by the name of Stephen. Do you know he confirmed heaven also? He was there and he had preached the gospel. He said, what did he do wrong? He just preached Jesus and they didn't like it. By the way, we're coming to that day. Amen. You say, when's it going to be? I don't know. It might be in my lifetime. Maybe in the lifetime of your kids or grandkids. But there's coming a day in America where you preach Jesus, you'll be stoned. Or you'll be thrown in prison. Or there's coming a day where you will be rejected. You see, Stephen preached the gospel. They didn't like it. You know what they did? They began to stone him. And Miss Martha, as they were stoning him, the Bible says he looked up into heaven and heaven opened and he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Hey, can I say something to you, dear friend? I've been at the bedside of those who are saved and I've been at the bedside of those who weren't saved. Look up here at me. And they died differently. Listen, I've been at the bedside. I've seen them pull their hair out. I've seen them chew their tongue. I've seen them scream. I've seen them clutch their fists. I've seen them scratch theirself and scream because they were going off into an eternity without God. But I've also been at the bedside of a believer. Held their hand. Sang. You say, like what? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hey, I've held their hand. I've sung with them. We've had a good time. I've read scripture. We've prayed the Lord. Listen, we've been blessed and singing and praising God as they went off into eternity. I've heard them say, I can see Jesus. I can see angels. I can see all of these things. It's wonderful. I can hear the music. You see, it's confirmed. Jesus confirmed it. Stephen confirmed it. Can I say Paul confirmed it? Paul was stoned to death as well. The Bible said he was caught up into the third heaven and he wanted to write everything that he saw. And God said, nah, can't write it right now. You say, well, why didn't he write it down? I want to know more. What's going on? Because it'd blow your mind. So God said, no, don't write it down. That's not going to be part of the canon of scriptures. Hey, folks, I don't know about you. I like God kind of keeping some surprises, don't you? I kind of like the anticipation of exactly the way everything is going to be. There's confirmation of heaven. You know, I find in Scripture, take your Bible, if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you something else the Bible confirms. Not only does it confirm that we're sinners, that there's a place called hell where those who die without Christ go, but there's a place in heaven where those who die in Jesus Christ go, because the Scripture says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Let me show you something else the Bible confirms. And as it is appointed unto men, does your Bible say once to die? That kind of messes up a bunch of religions around the world, doesn't it? Hey, folks, let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm not a part of religion that when I die, that I'm coming back, and I don't know what I'm coming back as. Because, listen, I promise you, if I came back, I'd come back as a mosquito or something. Somebody go, pfft. Aren't you glad that we're not into this reincarnation mess? Hey, it says it is appointed unto man once to die. Oh, look at this now. But after this, what? Do you know the Bible not only confirms that we're sinners, there's a place called hell for the lost, there's a place called heaven for the saved. It confirms that you will die. Isn't it amazing most people don't act like they're going to die, though? Particularly the youth of America today, it's like, I'm invincible. You know how I know that? Because half the time when I'm driving down here when school starts at Lamar High School, they step out in front of me on purpose. Yeah. It's a game. And I tell you one thing, there's a couple of them almost went to see Jesus a couple of times. Now what I'm saying to you folks, listen, the Bible confirms you and I will die. It's appointed for us once to die, and this after this the judgment. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, death relocates us from this world into the next world. Death is your ticket as a believer to heaven. But listen to me. If you know not Christ, death is your ticket out of this world, but straight into a pit called hell. You say, well, how do we know the confirmation of death exists? Well, first of all, the Bible says it. And secondly, I've done enough funerals to confirm it. Yeah. When I walk past that casket and I look down and see that lifeless form, that's just a shell, folks. Their soul and spirit is either with the Lord or it's in hell. It's either heaven or hell. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no nirvana. There is no going to another planet and walking around there and being your own king or queen of a planet. Hey, folks, the Scriptures confirm heaven, hell, and death is your relocator. That body is lifeless, and that lifeless body confirms it. Can I say something else to you? An empty home confirms it too, doesn't it? Yeah, it gets real quiet around the house. a grave, a headstone confirm it. I'm just here to tell you, not only does the Bible confirm sin, it confirms hell, it confirms heaven, it confirms death. But oh, let me finish up and say this morning. I also found in the Scripture that we have the confirmation of a Savior. Yeah. The Bible confirms that we have a Savior. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, let me just step back and just say what John the Baptist said. John 1:29, when he saw Jesus for the first time, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He confirmed this is the Messiah. But wait a minute, it was confirmed long ago by Gabriel when he confirmed it to Mary. So an angel of God came from the portals of heaven, came down and confirmed that to the Virgin Mary. Hey, remember the shepherds in the field? Watching their flocks by night, biting their nails like the preacher did, because they have to work night shift. And listen, the Bible says the heavens opened and a host of angels began to proclaim to them to go into Bethlehem and they would find the Savior. It was confirmed by angels. The wise men confirmed it. Oh, I hate to bust your bubble. This is not even Christmas time, but I need to, okay? Follow what the Bible says. The wise men did not show up at the manger. The Bible says they showed up 2 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. Go read it. It's right there. You know where I got that? It got confirmed. Because listen to me. Did you know as a kid, that's what I used to believe? I used to believe that, hey, the wise men just came to the manger and here's Jesus. And they're, oh, look at me. Didn't happen that way. When they found him, the Bible says he was already in the house and he was a minimum of 2 years old. Listen, the Bible confirmed it. Gabriel confirmed it. The angels confirmed it. Wise men confirmed it. Prophets confirmed it. The apostles confirmed it. Oh, can I say something to you? Mary Magdalene confirmed it. Thomas confirmed it. The centurion at Calvary confirmed it. As he stood there and he watched the Son of God die and the sky draped black, the earthquake, the dead raised from the graves, he said, surely this was the Son of God. That kind of make an impression on me, right? If I saw all of these things happen, the centurion confirmed it. Hey, the Roman guards at the tomb confirmed it that morning as well. You know how I know that? Because when you go read the Scriptures, they went back into town and tried to tell their story. And you know what they got? Hush money. Now listen, you know what that was? That was tampering, folks. They were trying to tamper with the information. Because they didn't want these guards actually telling people, no, you got to understand, he came out. He came out! No, he didn't. The apostles stole his body. No, you don't understand, he came out! Listen, they said, no, the apostles stole his body. No, we think he came out. 100, 2, no, the apostles stole his body. Yeah, you're right, they did. Come on, help me out, go check me out. That's exactly what happened. Because what happened was they began to tamper with the information. They paid these guards off. That's okay, Stephen confirmed it again. Jesus himself confirmed it. On the cross, when he said, listen now, right out of his mouth, Father, that confirms it right there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, probably the most famous three words in the Bible, it is finished. Jesus confirmed it. Let me wrap this up and say this. The Bible also confirms, my dear friend, not that we're just sinners, not that there's a place called hell, a place called heaven. Not did the Bible just confirm that death is approaching and that there's a Savior who's willing to save you from your sins. Listen to me. He is coming again. The Bible confirms that Jesus will return. Remember when Jesus gathered his disciples together on the Mount of Olives and he began to tell them and commission them to go into all the world, be witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth? The Bible says he stepped on a cloud and he began to ascend, and the apostles and the disciples began to watch him. And the Bible says there were two men dressed in white apparel standing by them. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, which is taken to heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Can I say to you, he's coming back. And you know who he's coming back for? He's coming back for only those believers. Listen, Jesus confirmed he's coming back. The angels in Acts 1 confirmed he's coming back. The apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 confirmed he's coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 confirmed he's coming back. It's what the church has preached and believed since its existence. You see, the information that we've heard today, folks, and throughout our life, many of you raised in church all your life concerning these subjects. All I wanted to do this morning was help you to realize you have in your hand the confirmation of all the information. It's been confirmed this morning. You see, God made sure that confirmation was achieved through multiple sources. He used it to confirm it through men, through events. Oh, by the way, in some cases, supernatural things. Yeah, supernatural things. But the bottom line is this, you're going to have to decide this morning whether or not you're going to act upon the information. It's been confirmed. You now just have to decide, are you going to act on the information? Or are you going to decline the information? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, your eternity depends on it. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, I want to say to you, your fellowship depends on it. You're just going to have to decide this morning. Has the information been confirmed? I'm here to tell you, it has. Not just by God Himself, but by other people. By hundreds of other people have confirmed this book is true. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. I wonder how many believers are here this morning that would be willing to testify about your salvation and say, "Preacher, I am a born-again believer. I've been born into the family of God. I remember when someone opened the Bible and explained to me how to be saved, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus." And you say, "Preacher, and I'm not ashamed of it." I want you to slip your hand up as a testimony before the Lord and say, "That's me. I'm not ashamed of it. If I died, I'm going to heaven according to the information that's been confirmed." All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Nobody's looking around but me. There were quite a few hands that could not be raised this morning. May I say to you, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you trust the Lord this morning? The information is confirmed. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ died for you. 2,000 years ago, He went to a place called Calvary, and there He became sin for you. We had a number of people that couldn't raise their hands this morning. If you're here this morning and you have some doubt about where you're going to go when you face death, would you at least let me pray for you? Obviously, God sent you this morning to church for a reason. It may be for you to put your faith and trust in Christ, but at the least, God sent you here for at least prayer. How many of you this morning that couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago would say, "Preacher, if I died, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. It's not that I don't want to go. It's just that I just don't know. I have some doubt about it. You'd at least let me pray for you." I want you to slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me." Just slip it up high. God bless you and you and you. Just slip it up and say, "Preacher, that's me." God bless you and you. Somebody else will join these five that's already raised their hand. Say, "Preacher, that's me. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you." Listen, I don't want you to die and go off into an eternity without God. Say, "Preacher, pray for me." Just slip your hand up. God bless you. There's a sixth one right there. Just slip your hand up. Say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. God bless you. God bless you. There might be a few folks here this morning who say, "Preacher, well, I've already trusted Christ." But you've never been baptized scripturally by immersion, by the right authority, after you accepted the Lord. Do you know the Bible commands us that after we accept the Lord, that we're to obey Him in believer's baptism? To picture not only His death, burial, and resurrection, but our death to sin, our walk in newness of life. It's a testimony. We don't get baptized to be saved, we get baptized because we're saved. You're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've already accepted the Lord, but I've never been baptized. Would you pray for me? I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. Pray for me. Pray for me." God bless you and you. Who will join these two? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. After I got saved, I know it's the right thing to do. I need to obey God. Pray for me." Anybody else will join these two? Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody will join these folks? One last time. Anybody else? All right, then one last question. We've got quite a few believers here this morning that raised your hand and made a profession that you are a child of God. I wonder how many this morning that would say, preacher, I'm a believer. But there's so many areas of my life that I know that I need to stabilize. I've got the information. I know the information has been confirmed in the book. But you say, preacher, I'm struggling in some areas of my faith. Would you pray for me? I want you to slip your hand up high and say, that's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up all over the auditorium. Say, I'm struggling in some areas of my faith. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. To my Father, I ask you on behalf of this assembly and this congregation that you do something divine this morning. My Lord, I ask you, please, that you would move in the hearts of those that are believers that raised their hands, said they were struggling maybe with their faith. Maybe they're struggling, Lord, with an area of their life, that today you would confirm the answer to them from the Word of God. I pray that when the invitation begins, Lord, that we would come to the altar and, Lord, receive that confirmation through your Holy Spirit. Please, would you draw us to the altar of sacrifice this morning? I also pray for those, Lord, that raised their hand and said they needed the Lord. There was about a half a dozen people this morning, my Father, that raised their hand and said they did not know that they'd been truly and sincerely born into the family of God. I pray that this morning would be the day that they would make that move to obey you. And Lord, that they would not walk out of this building with any doubt whatsoever. Let them come this morning on the first note of invitation. And then Lord, we had about a half a dozen or maybe a few more that raised their hand and said they need to be baptized. And I pray, my Father, please, that this morning, that those that need to obey you in that area would come, that they might make their public profession that they've been born into the family of God and identify with Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, whatever's in the life, whatever the need of the people are, Lord, we pray that you'd move this morning in such an incredible way. And we'll give you all the glory for what you'll do in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning?